Good morning, everyone. Good to be here. God has blessed us this day, and such a privilege and a pleasure. And we so often talk about the mishaps of the lives of other people, and we need to look at those mishaps and then turn and be thankful for all the blessings that we've been granted, things that we are able to do, to live and to move and have our being. So often when I see others who are challenged, I think about how much I've been blessed. And I overlook those little ills that I have. Thank you to all of you for being here. If we have visitors, I don't see anybody right off, but sometimes I miss. If we do have visitors, we want you to know that we're so pleased to have you, and you are our honored guest. This morning, I told Roy we'd be out of here in an hour and 5 minutes. We're going to beat that today. He's on it, so there's no reason that I can't be on it. So we're going to do that today. So we're going to send you home so you can come back this evening. I know y'all didn't know I was going to say that right. This morning, our lesson from Hebrews chapter number 7 is entitled, A Totally New Order of Doing Things. A Totally New Order of Doing Things. And the whole purpose behind this is to try to get us to see that there is the new, and I need to get on board with the new and make sure that I'm not still lingering in the old. When I began to read this particular text, starting at verse number 11, I noticed how the author began to write, and he says, therefore, if perfections were through the Levitical priesthood, if that priesthood that we had under Levi, Aaron, and the rest of them, if it had been perfect, then there would be no need for another priesthood to come in to place. And you need to understand that we do not live under that Levitical priesthood. But we might practice under the Levitical priesthood if we don't pay close attention to how we do things. Because the Levitical priesthood is going to be referenced here as that fleshly order of things. And the priesthood that we are moving to operate under is one according to the spiritual order of things. And one of the things that I'm seeing that we struggle with is, how do I differentiate between the fleshly or the physical and that spiritual order that I'm truly supposed to understand and enjoy? This writer continues in this verse. He says, for under this priesthood, the people received the law. And he said, what further need was there that another priesthood should arise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not according to the order, not be called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe. Now, you know, right here, if you look, God passed the workmanship or the things to be done at the temple down to the sons of Levi. Aaron was selected as a priest. Those direct sons were priests, and all the rest of the Levites were those who served in the temple. And so he goes on and he says here, but he says, this particular person that's being talked about came from another tribe. Now, when we think about this, of the 12 tribes, of the 12 sons of Israel, when we began to look out there, when we began to look out and talk about these sons, we find that these sons were sons that all headed a particular tribe. The 11 tribes, and one tribe was split into half, were those who went out and worked, or who inherited the land and worked, and they came in and they paid tithes unto the Levites, and this is how the temple was supported. Very similar to what we do now. We go out and we work and we give that the Lord's work might be supported, and they did that. And the Levites, or the Levitical priesthood, didn't do any work. They lived off of that was brought into them by these other tribes. This is how they functioned. But here, he said, but a priest is coming, and he's coming from a different tribe. He's not coming from the tribe of Levi, but he's coming from one of those working tribes. And he goes a little further, and he says about them, he says, from which no man has officiated at the altar, the tribe that he's coming from, none of these have been in the tabernacle or in the temple to serve at the altar, but yet we're going to get a priest from another tribe. And he also says this, he says, it is evident that, it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. Now, normally when we think about Moses speaking, we think about the books of Genesis through Deuteronomy. And when we think about that, nothing is spoken from Moses about this particular coming of this particular tribe, you see. Nothing is spoken there, but still we're going to get a priest after a new order. And so because of this, we need to understand what this Hebrew writer is bringing back to us, that we may understand that whatever we do is totally according to a new order of doing things. Any reference back to that basically is saying it is going away. And we need to see and we need to understand the new order. Those of us who've been in the Sunday morning class on Matthew, the whole thing that Jesus was teaching there to the Pharisees, that there's a new order. A totally new thing is coming, and what you all are trying to hold on to, it has to go away. So the likeness of things that others are doing may not be the right kind of thing to do. When we began to look here, we find that he used the phrase, Jesus arose from Judah, or our Lord arose from Judah. Well, you know, when I looked in the genealogy, something popped up that I had never thought about before. I'd like for you to turn with me a move to Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 2. Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 2. And this is in the genealogy, and something popped out there that had never stood out before. But here, he said this, talking about genealogy. He said, Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah and his brethren. Now, I want us to pay close attention to that. He didn't say Simeon. Nor did he say Levi. Now, you got to understand, the priestly order was from Levi. So had Levi been the right one of the Levitical priesthood, then the Holy Spirit would have said, Jacob begot Levi. But it was left out there, and he said, Jacob begot Judah. Now, I want you to turn with me a little further to Luke chapter number 3. Luke chapter number 3, and we're going to look at about verse number 33. A different format of the genealogy, because the genealogy in Matthew goes from the older to the younger, and the genealogy in Luke goes from Jesus back toward the older, and we're skipping a lot of this. But when we look at verse number 33, as it's coming, and this is from some of the newer ones, and the Lord is already there, but he said, the son of Amminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. And in both of these instances, if you'll know, Levi is never mentioned. Judah is mentioned in both instances, and that's something I think that the Holy Spirit put there to let us know that this new order was coming, and the new order would totally wash out the old order. Now listen how this particular text started. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, so since perfection was not there, our Holy Spirit is saying, let's take that out. And let's point to where perfection is going to come from. And that perfection is from the tribe of Judah. So this is something that we need to know and we need to realize, a new order. And all of these years, the Levitical priesthood operated. But then after they operated, God said, it's not good enough. So it has to go, and we're going to come over here, and we're going to take someone from a new tribe. And then he goes a little further, and he says this. He says, for the priesthood being changed, of necessity, there's also a change in the law. Many of us have read this detail when we read how our Lord talks about, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So it's totally gone away, and today we're living under this total new order, a new way of doing things. Now, if there's a new law and a new order, there's also a new way of thinking, operation, and how our activities are supposed to go. You see, here we're trying to see, how do I leave this physical thing that I can get my arms around? And how do I go to this spiritual thing that's open and broad and different? And I got to look, I got to act, I got to move and even think in a different hemisphere than that they thought in relative to the old law. Now, when we go to verse number 1 of chapter number 7 of Hebrews, we find there that in verse number 1, before we go there, I want to talk a little bit about Melchizedek. Then we'll go to verse number 1. Melchizedek had a sudden appearance, and he also had a sudden disappearance. He appeared suddenly, and then he disappeared suddenly. Not only that, but he was referred to as a priest of the Most High God. And then he said about him, he said, another priest would be arising after this order. And these things are inferred not only in Hebrews 7, but we find this writing specifically in Genesis 14, 18 through 20. We find it in the 110th Psalms and also in Matthew chapter number 22 and verse number 43. So now we have Melchizedek. Now looking at verse number 1 of Hebrews, the Bible says, for this Melchizedek, that's Hebrews 7, this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and he blessed Abraham, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Now earlier we said this, under the Levitical priesthood, all the other tribes did all the working, and they came up with all of the spoil, all of the goods, and then they brought and they offered a tithe to the Levitical priesthood. They were commanded to do that. But now when we look, Abraham, who was a part of the patriarchs and a part of this order before it was specifically put in place, Abraham offered or gave a tenth part of all that he had. He gave that to Melchizedek. So here we have those who were receiving tithe, but in this particular instance, those
gave tithes to a one that was greater than them. Now, that sounds a little confusing. But the whole thing that the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us is that the reason that is, even the Levitical priesthood and all those who came from Levi, they are eventually going to have to move to the new and to the higher order because there's a total new way of doing things. So therefore, he goes a little further and he talks about this. And here's where we have to do what you call understand or read between the lines. Ultimately, when he finishes this, he talks about how Melchizedek, he came without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remained a priest continually. So we have this piece back here. And could that have been Christ back there too, since he was also under the old law? He may have been Christ who appeared as a priest to say, this is what the order is going to be like. But he was called Melchizedek at that particular time. Now, does Christ have a beginning? Does he have an end? Does he have a mother or a father? Now, yes, he has a mother and a father for early birth, but Christ was always there from everlasting to everlasting, you see. So here we have a different picture. So he goes a little further, and he says, as he talked about this thing, he said, down at verse number 4, now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoil. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who received the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people, and he's making a relationship. Though the Levitical priesthood have a commandment to receive a tithe, they tithe to a higher order. And when we read this verse closely, we're going to find that Levi, though he had not been born, he also tithes, or he gave a tithe to Melchizedek. If you read closely with me as we follow, going a little further, he said this in verse number 5. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them, neither tithe from Abraham, and blessed him who had the promise, or received tithe from Abraham, and blessed him who had the promise. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. So Melchizedek is considered as the better, and the Levitical priesthood is considered as the lesser. Here, mortal men receive tithes, but there he, Melchizedek, received them, of whom it is witnessed that he lived. Even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. Now, this is the part that we need to understand. Levi was in the loins of Abraham. Are y'all all right with that? Levi was in the loins of Abraham, so to speak, since Abraham paid tithes to the higher order, Levi paid tithes because Abraham received the commission from God to bless all the nations. And the Levitical priesthood came unto Abraham, and all that was laid down, they followed. So to speak, Levi paid tithes unto Melchizedek, but under the Levitical priesthood, he was there to receive tithes from the people. Little confusing, but just think about it for a minute, you see. Whatever our parentage did, we were in their loin, so we have that. If you wonder where you got your makeup from, your identity from, no matter what happened, you were already in the loins when the first one started. And so to speak, you're doing that same thing. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So therefore, when we look at this whole thing, even though it was set that way, there was a better plan in the making for all of us to accomplish this particular goal. Now looking at verse number 15, we get to finish this.
And it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. So here are the two things that's being equated here. A fleshly commandment and an endless life. The power of an endless life. So this is all wrapped up with this whole thing. For on the one hand, there's an annulling of the former commandments because of its weakness and unprofitableness. So everything that was under Levi was weak and unprofitable. We couldn't keep it. It was only kept once. That's by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So now, since we couldn't keep it, he gave us a new order, a new way of doing things, but more than anything, a new way of thinking and a new way of acting. So therefore, we ask this question. How does this change affect us? How are we affected by this new order? Are our worships and actions according to the fleshly commandment or according to the power of endless life? You know, when you think about the way we do some of the things, we act according to the fleshly command. When I have something real important, I don't feel good, does not hinder me. It doesn't hinder me. If it's not that important, if it's on the fleshly thing, I don't feel good, it hinders me from getting it done. Where I preached that last Sunday, that congregation had between 85 and 90% of their people already there at the Bible school hour. Already there. That was impressive to me. About four or five people came in for the rest of the day. You know why I think that is? They're moving toward this endless life, this power of endless life, and not a fleshly thing. But if it's a fleshly thing, I'll just get to it if I get to it. We're talking about a totally new order of doing things. We're talking about a totally new order of how we think about things, how we prioritize, and how we move forward, because that fleshly thing is gone, because you need to understand that the scripture specifically said it was weak and it was unprofitable. So we move to this. Another question. Am I able to distinguish between the old order and the new order? You see, we are so filled with religious stuff that it's hard to distinguish if we're not truly filled with the Spirit. It's hard to distinguish. And so therefore, we need to get past just the words of the Bible. And we need to get alive or living word and be filled with the Spirit of the Bible. Another question. How does a true understanding of the new spiritual call cause me to act and or to react? If I get an understanding, will I keep acting like I act, or will I act differently? Will I move in a different direction? You see, the whole view here is the intent of Hebrews chapter 7 was to get me to see that the new order is in town, but it's different, it's serious. And this is why Matthew has this on every page. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. All you got to do is read it. It's just read page by page by page. It's written there. And so we ought to move away from this Pharisaical view and move to this new order of this living power that will make us do things differently. One of the things that we need to realize is to have the power to join hands as a group. A group is powerful. A group doing wrong is powerful. You see, if you got a group, it doesn't matter. It's powerful. And a group doing right is more powerful. The bigger the group, the greater the power. Another question. With those following the fleshly commandment, that is, if I start following the spiritual commandment, will they notice a difference in me. Lord, we sure hope so. We believe it's going to be there, and we hope that they notice a difference in you. We hope that they think you're a weirdo. Because it's a new order. And under the new order, I'm going to tell you that all the smart folk in Bible days didn't see the difference, and the smart folk now don't see the difference. Only those who are filled with the power of this new life going to see the difference, and they're only going to see it if I live it. And if you live it, a total new order of doing things. Last question. What must I do to keep growing in this new order? Over and over again, we're going to have to do what they say. We're going to have to practice, practice, practice. We're going to have to read. We're going to have to study. We're going to have to meditate. We're going to even have to reevaluate. You know, when things go bad, you got to reevaluate how you did what you did to see if you did it correctly. You know, when they say whatever they say ugly to you tomorrow, you need to reevaluate how you handle that. And then a week from now, we need to handle it in this new order and not in the old order. So this morning, God is calling us to move out and to operate under the new order, not according to the weak and unprofitable fleshly and physical law. So God, he's asking all of us to regenerate ourselves and rejuvenate ourselves. Move in the right direction. If you're not a Christian, the power of the gospel of the new order is there. If we'll just hear that gospel and believe it, repent of our sins, confess Christ, then be buried in water baptism. If we're not all we ought to be as a Christian, and if we don't have the focus of what the new order will make us do, today is a day that I need to repent, that I need to move in the right direction. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may not come. So therefore, we need to do whatever it is we got to do. We need to get it straight, and getting it straight doesn't just mean talking about it. Getting it straight means I'm going to do something about it. And do you know, if I follow the new order, everybody in here is going to see it. If you follow the new order, everybody in here is going to see it. Do you know what happened every time we go to something, you know, a big event that we think is important? You know what happened? You know what we say? We need to get there early so we can get a seat. I'm going to leave that alone. Let you take it from there. If there's something big, we need to get there early so we can get a seat. You know why we don't get here early? It doesn't matter. Plenty of seats. We need to get involved in the new order. God is calling. You need to obey the gospel. Come to Jesus. You need to make it right. Make it right with God. Make it right now. Come to Jesus while we're standing, while we're singing.